Helsinki. And we have Abebe Malle, who is from the University of Jyväskylä and also from Ethiopia. And William Ketsia, who is from Ghana, but also our student at this university. And Margaret Matonia from Tanzania, who is also doing her doctoral thesis in our university. And they will discuss their perspectives of inclusive educational, especially focusing on vocational education and training. And we will learn a bit more about inclusion. They will take part in the theme groups. Some of them already know where they will be. So you will meet them and you can ask and talk to them more over the dinner today. They all will be here for dinner today. And they will also take part in some of the theme groups. And I understand that Margaret will be in the leadership group, leadership and youth unemployment, which is one exciting group. And then William will be in
skills
around the world. And Abebe will be in youth ambassadors, I think. Yes, right. And Hanna, we'll see.
Maybe skills as well.
Maybe skills as well. Okay, you're welcome, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Elina. I think our names have been mentioned and where we come from. So I will just give my colleagues brief opportunity to tell a little bit about what they are doing as far as their research is concerned. I will start with Anna.
Hello. My current research is on secondary education in Tanzania, and when it comes to inclusion, I look at it from the very broad perspective and from the perspective of girls and students. And in secondary education, my interest is particularly on the transition from lower secondary to upper secondary education.
My research focuses on policy practice gap on participation of students with disabilities in formal vocational, technical and vocational education and training in Ethiopia.
My research is about inclusive education and how teachers are prepared to create an inclusive classroom. My focus is in Ghana.
My research is about accessibility of women with disabilities in higher education. So on this presentation, I'll be based on women with disabilities and vocational education.
Thank you. I think I'm not going to, because of time, I'm not going over the education for all goals, but the main purpose of this seminar, I think, is the launching of the 10th edition of FR Global Monitoring Report. And it is important, I mean, for our discussion to remind us of the third goal, which entreats all countries to ensure that the learning needs of all young people and adults are met through equitable access to learning opportunities and also life skills program. And if you look at the report, it says that one young person in eight is looking for work across the world. And the question we have been asking ourselves is that, let's forget about the work. I don't know if the work is there for them to look for it. But then the question is, do they have the necessary skills to the required skills? And are there opportunities for them to get these skills? What are the challenges involved in getting some of these skills? And what is needed for them to get some of these skills that we have been talking about? And both Salamanca Statement and Dakar Framework for Action, I think these are key documents when it comes to the achievement of education for all goals, actually highlight inclusive education as a strategy to achieve the vision and the purpose of the education for all goals. So it is very important for us to also talk about inclusive education when we are discussing or assessing the progress so far about education for all. And before we go to the substantive issues of our discussion, I think it will be very nice for us to know what inclusion or what inclusive education is. It's a very ambiguous term, actually. So I'm not going to impose my definition on anyone. I'm going to give my this opportunity to say what actually this term means to them. And I'll start with Abebe. What does inclusive education
mean? So many friends may say a lot of things about inclusion. But for me, the very important and central thing that makes me sense is that inclusion is, it may be a process and a strategy, but inclusion is the right. No one will give me, no one will take that one. So inclusion of persons with special educational needs or inclusion of people with disabilities is what we call, you know, it is a right, you know. I will tell you for the people who are implementing, you know, who wish, you know, to for education for all, persons with disabilities minus, I mean, education for all minus persons with disabilities is equal to impossible. So it is right. In my definition, you know, inclusion is the right for everybody.
Anna, what does you have been doing research on girls' education in Tanzania? What does inclusion mean to you?
I think my definition is on a similar line with Abebe's. It starts with education as a right, so it's an equity issue. But I might extend it beyond disabilities. I think it's about recognizing and welcoming diversity in general. And it's also about quality of education to all. And if we want to know who the all are, we need to look at the specific contexts. Different groups are marginalized in different contexts, so we have to be careful about recognizing that.
Thank you. And Margaret, what does it mean to you?
Yeah, to me, as we know that women were not accessing education, it means that through inclusive education, women will get opportunity to be in schools and to share and to socialize with the other students in schools.
Thank you very much. And I think I'll add a very few to this, or what you have said, as I said, is very as God is your own. But for me, what is very important is the identification and the eradication of removal of barriers to education. I mean, a lot of people have been excluded from the education system. So if you are talking about inclusion, there are barriers in terms of attitude of teachers towards persons with disabilities, barriers in terms of resources, and we have barriers in terms of curriculum, how students access curriculum. We just, I think in the previous presentation we saw that a lot of people go through the education system, but at the end of the day, they don't have the necessary skills. So what is happening? Which means that we are not able to access the curriculum. So we have to find out all these barriers and be able to remove them. So it is very important. But Agnebe, you have been doing a lot when it comes to helping those with impairment, especially to access education. I mean, why inclusion? Why are you talking about inclusion? Why not special education? What are the benefits?
It is a very interesting question because people usually think that anything that should be provided for people with disabilities in particular is viewed as a charity. But why inclusion is needed is a very important point, you know. I focus on one point, you know, on two points here. The factor that justifies, you know, inclusion is that it is a question of, you know, human right. Any country, any society who is claiming to respect the human right without the inclusion of people with disabilities in all aspects of life, including education, it is almost meaningless. So when you say, why inclusion, why people or countries are required to include the issue of disability or other diverse communities is simply for the reason that it is directly related to the human right. The other one is development.
If a country or a society wants to have a genuine and practical development, without including at least 10% of the world population living with different types of impairments, development will be meaningless. So for the reason of human rights and development issues, inclusion is important. This justifies why inclusion is needed currently. You know, it's not a political term. It is natural, you know.
Thank you very much. And I think when you say human rights, for me, I think that we can have all these international conventions, human rights and all that. Yeah. But then inclusive education is a strategy to make sure that this human rights issue is realized. Yeah. Because without it, this human right cannot be realized. Yeah. Yeah. So Anna, you have also been doing a lot. Why inclusion is so important to you, and why inclusion of women?
Looking at women's education from inclusion perspective allows for a more holistic approach because, I mean, as we know, poverty, gender, and disability are all some key dimensions of inequality and exclusion, and particularly gender is the one that intersects with all the other forms of disadvantage too. So if we look at all these together, it allows for strategies to address inequity and exclusion in a more holistic way. And I think this is true particularly for children with multiple disadvantages. Let's look at disabled female students coming from the very poorest segments of their communities. I think inclusion gives us some tools to tackle all those problems together.
Yeah, thank you very much. And Margaret, you have also been working with
inclusion for women with disabilities is cost effectiveness because most of students with disabilities, they are studying in their own schools, which we call special schools. So it means that we are using a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of demand in terms of them. So when we include them to study on the same areas with the non-disabled student, it means that informal system, we can reduce the cost, and also they can share the same teaching and learning materials, and also they can share the ideas and views from the other students. And also, inclusion is important because of ethical and socialization. It means that we know that most students with disabilities, in particular women, they are getting challenges at home with parents, with sisters and brothers. They are discriminating them, they are excluding them. So it means that coming to inclusive classrooms or schools, it means that they are getting chance and opportunities to share their challenges, to share their ideas, and also they are getting more support and assistance from the peers, from the teachers, and from the community who are living at the school.
Thank you. I think in addition to what you just said, inclusion is very important in the sense that inclusion is not just about access to school. It is about quality of education. And research has also shown that students with disabilities or impairment or special needs in the inclusive classroom actually progress a lot in terms of their social skills, their academic skills. And also, you mentioned about resources. It helps in mobilization of resources to provide a very comprehensive education, quality education for all students in the classroom. Thank you very much. And we've talked about the meaning of inclusion and also why we need inclusive education. But what are some of the challenges when it comes to inclusive education, which we have said earlier that it is a strategy to achieve the education for all goals. Abebe, I will start with you again.
Yeah, challenges are so many, but I'll focus only on two important ones. The first one is, the first challenge for the implementation of inclusion is negative attitude. When we say negative attitude, don't point our finger at the people. That includes the educated elites or, you know, high profiles, particularly in our case, in Africa or Ethiopia in particular. I will tell you something now. I cordially request you to put it, what I am telling you now, in your heart and mind, according to your choice. I am visually impaired. In fact, visual impairment has limitation, and it is a little bit painful. But I will tell you that the most painful to me is not my visual impairment. The most painful to me is your negative attitude towards my visual impairment. So how negative attitude is painful, you can understand from this one. So negative attitude is one of the challenges for the inclusion of people with disabilities in all aspects of life, including education. And so, let me share you one proverb of Shakespeare. You know it well. What Shakespeare says, that in nature there is no blemish, but what? Mind. That tells you a lot of things, how the mind of the people can change things negatively or positively. The other one is lack of, you know, adaptive, you know, inclusive policy, legislation, and strategy is also another challenge in Africa in particular that totally excluded people with special educational. Adaptive educational, lack of adaptive educational materials, and so on. And all these are so many challenges, and I will invite the other, you know, colleagues to share you the other number of, you know, challenges for the implementation of inclusive education.
Yeah, I think you mentioned attitudes, and I think that is the most important reason why we should have inclusion of persons with impairment and special needs in mainstream classroom. Because if we have such people in the mainstream classroom, then our attitude towards them would change. That is the society we want to create. We want to create an inclusive society, and it must start from the schools. Well, I'll move on to my next, the next person, Anna. You are doing something about girls and their post-primary education. What are some of the challenges have you come across so far?
I would like to provide a student perspective. I think in the morning we all heard this, and perhaps an increasing and somehow renewed interest and focus on technical and vocational education, and obviously it's part of the solution. But what I have learned from my research with secondary school girls in Tanzania is that the status of technical and vocational training in their preferences and aims is very low. Most of them would like to continue the academic stream, no matter how low the actual chances are. And therefore, I think we should be very careful that the technical and vocational education is not considered or marketed as a second-class option, something suitable for girls and for the disabled, perhaps, because that will end up further increasing inequalities. So we have to be careful when we think about how we look at technical and vocational education at the current moment.
Thank you very much. And I think I will come up with a follow-up question when it comes to low status of technical and vocational education, which is, I think, very common in most countries. Mm. And Margaret, you also, everybody know what you are doing, women with this. What are some of the challenges have you got?
The most challenges for the women is low level of parent involvement. It means that most of parents, they don't know what to do when they have their children with the disabilities. And also they don't know what to do when the children, they are in schools, because there is no link or connection between teachers, parents, children, and the curriculum. So it means that everyone is working as a separate entity, So it means that it is hard for the parents to know what is inclusion and the importance of inclusion and where they can send the children with the disabilities. So it means that we need something for the parents. It means that we need a cooperation between teachers, parents, children, and a curriculum. And also we don't have a clear curriculum for the student with the disabilities. It means that they are using the same curriculum with the non-disabled student, which does not meet the diverse needs of the students. So it means that there are some subjects which is hard for students with the special need education to come across, like mathematics and also science subjects. For example, for the student with the visual impairment, there is drawings and practical for the science subject. So when they face with this practical and drawings, they need support from the other people, or they don't know what to do. So it means that we need a parent to be involved on inclusion, parent to define what is inclusion, why inclusion is important, and how they are supposed to do with their children. And also we need a curriculum which cuts across the needs of both groups. It means non and disabled students.
Thank you very much. And in addition to all that you have said, I think if you have seen the current EFA report, it states that in sub-Saharan African countries alone, we need 2 million teachers in order to achieve universal primary education, which is a huge number of teachers. And we are even talking about numbers. We are not talking about even the quality of teachers. If you go to most of the African countries, most of the teachers are not trained. They don't have the necessary skills to make inclusion happen. And this is a serious challenge when it comes to teacher education, number of teachers. And also about teacher workload. If you are placing students with disabilities and special needs in the regular classroom, then it presupposes that teachers have the necessary skills, the competences to be able to make learning effective for all of these children. Do they have the skills? Do they have the necessary competences to be able to support this student in the classroom? So these are huge challenges, and there are a lot which time will not permit us to talk about. We have, what's happened to the first picture? Whose picture is that? I don't know.
Uh-oh.
Well, is that your picture? Okay, let's forget about it now. And my panel members have some pictures on the board, and I want to give them a few minutes for them to have maybe say something about these pictures in terms of the challenges that we have been discussing. I'll start with you, Anna.
Okay. It's not fully visible. It's it's the one on the down left corner. It's from my research site in Dar es Salaam. It tells about the problem of people getting stuck on the last year of lower secondary education. It's not obvious from the picture, but most of the students are well overaged for this level of education.
If you can see the cursor, I think this one,
some of them are close to their 30s, and mm-hmm. they are still struggling to finish their lower secondary school. They all want to achieve the high scores in the examinations in order to continue up to upper secondary and the university level. This has really made me wonder, is this the most useful way to spend your time when you prepare for your future and possibly for the world of work?
Okay. Thank you very much. And I think our time is almost up. And just about the low status, I think, because of, you can see, they are very grown up. but still they don't want to go to maybe take the vocational or technical stream. There is a whole negative attitude towards vocation and skills when I think it's common to most of African countries. And Professor Abebe, what do you say to this, your picture? Then quickly we run it.
We have so many pictures, but one of the big challenges in Ethiopia is environmental inaccessibility and also, you know, large class size. But environmental inaccessibility is very, very difficult one. You know, go to the school and come again to the home, and even in the school, it is very difficult. You know, physical inaccessibility, physical environment is one of the great challenges.
Thank you very much. And Margaret, what do you say quickly about
Yeah, my picture is the second picture B. It shows how hard to meet the diverse learning of the student with the disabilities, because in a classroom there is almost 100 or 200 students, and that classroom is the mixture of student with the disabilities and a non-disabled student. So it is hard to meet the EFA goals if we have this kind of classrooms.
Yeah, and the large classrooms actually influences the teacher a lot. The choice of teaching and instructional methods that the teachers choose is as a result of the size of the class. That's why most teachers resort to lecture method. What is actually needed for the implementation of inclusive education? Because of the time, I will just go through myself. We need more funding. More funding in the sense that if you have children with impairment and disability in the mainstream classroom, it means teachers must be given the necessary support. Actually, those educators who are in favor of inclusion argue that it cannot be possible if teachers in the classroom don't get any support, support in terms of instructional assistance, in terms of materials and all that. We need parental involvement, as my colleague said. We need also responsible body to implement some of these policies, and also we need quality teacher education. And there are some strategies that various governments are trying to implement to promote access to education. And in Ghana, we have free compulsory basic education, which is going on now, but it's not absolutely free because there are costs to pay rent in terms of books and then uniforms and all that. We have free school feeding programs, which also help them, I mean, helps to retain some of these students when they come to school. Free school uniform, free textbooks, and I think we will end here because of time. Thank you very much for listening.